Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be commencing from the Gemara found at the upper part of Daf Mem Aleph. You'll notice around 7 lines from the top, there's a framed section with a little 2 dots that precedes it. We're opening up with a quote from that which we saw on Mem Amid Beis. So you will notice there's a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a little Mem Amid Beis indicator. If you skip back to Mem Amid Beis and also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, skim down the page and you'll notice an arrow with a Mem Aleph Amid Aleph indicator next to it. So we are referring here to that particular line. Lapar. Ze par helam dover shel tzibur. This is a quote from a pasuk that is found in the context of, in the topic of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. This drosha is a little bit unusual. It's saying that the Torah, in the very topic of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, uses a word to make a reference to it. Generally speaking, when you have a situation of you're in a given topic, and then another word, a word is used in the topic to refer to something, it's usually referring to something else, something outside. Here, you're in the very topic of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, and you're saying that Lapar is a reference to this thing. So that's the Gemara's question. Ha b'tzibur gufei ksiv. The pasuk itself is written in the context, in the topic of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. So why do you have to make a reference to it by adding this word? That's the question. Let us glance at the outside margin where we provide in our Gemara markings topic headings and structural notes to the Gemara that one is about to learn. We position these notes opposite the area of the Gemara where the topic more or less begins. So here we have a nosei. Nosei is a topic heading. And we explain, we've written in lepar yisera, the extra word lepar, that dechtiv etzel par helam, that's written in the topic of the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. That's the special sin offering. It's a special chatas offering that is brought in the event that the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the high court, errs in a legal ruling. And when they discover their error, so this animal is brought, this special cow offering, sin offering. Now, why is the word lapar appear in the context of the Par Helam Dover, and then a reference is made to that very same topic itself? Kedei shiye efshar lumoid mimenu yoiseres ushnei kloyois l'si'ire avodizora. We want to learn from the topic of Par Helam Dover to the topic of the Seir Avodah Zarah. That's a separate, unrelated sacrifice that's brought in the event that the public stumbles in the worship of Avodah Zarah as a result of a psak based in the case of Avodah Zarah. In the case of the Par Helam, we know that the parlam, when brought, the Yoseris HaKoved and Shnei Klosut, will refer just to them as certain innards of that particular animal are offered on the Mizbeach, are offered on the altar in the Beis HaMikdash. The Yoseris and Shnei Klosut of the Par Helam Dover are offered. We learn from the Par Helam to the Seir Avodah Zarah that animal also has its Yoseris and Shnei Klosut offered. The only problem is that the phenomenon of Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos is itself not written in the section dealing with the Parhelim. So you'll ask, how in the world can Parhelim teach to the Seer of Avodah Zarah an item, something that it itself doesn't even contain? So the answer is that Parhelim itself has, Parhelim itself, one brings from it the Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos by virtue of the fact that it is compared to the Par Kohen Moshiach. The Torah writes that one must bring the Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos from the offering known as the Par Kohen Moshiach. That's a case where the Kohen Gadol, if he makes an erroneous legal ruling and acts upon that, he brings a korban known as a Par Kohen Moshiach. The Torah writes that when the Kohen Gadol brings his Par Kohen Moshiach, he must offer the Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos of that animal. The Par Helem Dover is compared to the Par Kohen Moshiach. Hence, I know that the Par Helem also has Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos. By virtue of the fact that the Par Helem has this requirement of Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos, is that sufficient information for me now to teach, to have Sirei Avodah Zarah derived from the Par Helem? The answer is, I cannot do that. Why? Something that itself was derived through a Hekesh, namely the Parhelim was derived through its being compared to the Par Kohen Moshiach. So the Parhelim is now a derivative piece of information. It cannot be the source of that information for something else. Namely, I can't learn from the Parhelim to the Seer Avodah Zarah. So what do we do? So what the Torah does is an extra word is stuck in to the Parsha of Parhelim Dover, and that word contains in it, we'll call it a biblical code for the Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos. It becomes as if Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos is written directly into the topic of Parhelim Dover Shel Tzibor. As a result of that, Parhelim is no longer merely a derived piece of information from Par Kohen Moshiach, but the Parhelim is something that now contains that information in and of itself. And all that is encoded in the word Lapar. So if we continue in the note that we have on the outside, we mentioned that the word Lapar written into the topic of Parhelim enables me to learn from the Parhelim to the Seer Avodah Zarah. And our note continues, V'shelo yehei Parhelim kedover shelomad behekish shechozer mlamed behekish. And so that by this, the Parhelim does not become something that itself was merely derived through a hekish, and then turning around and teaching something else through Hekesh. We've included little, we've included a small diagram on the inside margin of the Gemara that will be referred to when we read the Gemara itself by a double asterisk. If you notice this microscopic note that we have on the inside margin, we'll, through this little chart, we'll try to illustrate with what we just said verbally. You notice it's entitled Yoseris Ushtei Kloyos. Kosuv, we're reading that little note, Kosuv Bepar Kohen Moshiach. The Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos are written Beferush. They're written outright in the case of the Par Kohen Moshiach. The Parhelim is derived through a Hekesh. You can see a little arrow pointing down from the Par Kohen Moshiach to the Parhelim. So the Parhelim has also a need to offer its Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos, but that in and of itself is derived from the Par Kohen Moshiach. Parhelim then If not for the fact that we have an extra word, Parhelim was then compared to the Seir Avodah Zarah, or more accurately, Seir Avodah Zarah was compared to the Parhelim, also through a Hekesh. Now this situation, if I were to leave things as is, namely, have the Yosershin Shtei Klos written by the Parkoy Moshiach, and then Parhelim compared through Hekesh to the Parkoy Moshiach, thereby deriving Yosershin Shtei Klos from the Parhelim, and then comparing the Seir Avodah Zarah to the Parhelim through a Hekesh, that would be out of bounds. That I would not be allowed to do, that type of limud, that type of, we'll call it double derivation. Hence, what are we suggesting? And this will be spelled out by the Gemara. An extra word is stuck into the topic of Parhelim, so as to make it as if the Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos are written beferush in the topic of Parhelim. So Parhelim no longer becomes merely derived from Parakoy Moshiach, but it's as if Yoseris and Shnei Klos is written straight out in the case of the Parhelim. Therefore, Parhelim will have enough power to teach me through a one-stage Hekesh between it and Seirei Avodah Zarah. Turning to the Gemara. Omar of Papa, we have a long answer marking that's illustrated by the Tuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating that all of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line form the answer. Omar of Popo, Mishum Deboi Agmuri Parhelim Dover Shotzibur B'yoyseres Ushtei Kloyos Le Si'ire Avodis Chovim. Because we have a necessity of learning about the need to offer the Yoseres and Shnei Kloyos of the Seir Avodas Chovim, and that's learned from the Parhelim Dover Shel Tzibur. However, Uparhelim Dover Shel Tzibur Begufei Lo Iksiv Behekesha Osi. The Parhelim itself, Begufei means in the topic itself, it doesn't write anything about the Yoseres and the Shtei Kloyos. How do I know about the Yoseres and Shnei Kloyos by the Parhelim? I know that Behekesha Osi, it comes through a Hekesh from the fact that it is compared to the Parkoin Moshiach. Therefore, Itzterich Lapar, I need the word Lapar that is written by the Parhelim Dover Shetzibur. Lemeheve Keman Dichsiv Be Begufei, to make it as if the Yoseres and Shnei Kloyos is written by the Parhelim itself. V'lo lehevei dover halomeid behekish chozer umalameid behekish. And so that the Parhelim does not become something that was derived through a hekish and then turning around and teaching me to the Seir Avodah Zarah through a hekish. And it's at this point that we have used the double asterisk for you to be able to glance at the chart to see what would have been that case of Dover halomeid behekish, chozer umalameid behekish. Tanya kavosei de Rav Papa. We have a Tanaic source, a brisa, that supports Rav Papa's approach to explain why the lapar was inserted here. The posuk says, "Vayikra dalet posukhov, but also kasher also ma talmud lomar lapar." What is the role of the word lapar in that posuk? We've also included on the side the posuk vayikra dalet posuk. Before we read any further, let's just read the posuk itself. It says v'osa lapar kasher osa lapar hachatos ken yase loi v'chiper aleihem akoyin v'nislach lohem. So in this pasuk, it says v'asa lapar kasher osa lapar achatos. So what is the word lapar doing here? So the Bryce explains l'fi shenemar v'heim. Now we're now going to bring a pasuk that deals with the situation of the tzibur having violated avodah zarah, and it says there v'heim eviu es korbanom ishel Hashem v'chatosam elu se'irei avodis kechovim shigigosam. This is also in the pasuk over there, which, by the way, we've written in on the inside margin, Bamidbar tezvah pasuk hafei. It says there, reading the pasuk before we continue in the source, v'chibar koin al-kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'nistach lahem ki shigagahi v'heim heviu es korbanan asher lashem, isher lashem v'chatosam lefnei Hashem al shigigosam. So the Brisa explains that the word shigigosam, Ze par helum davar shel tzibur. Chatosam al shigigosam. This is a paraphrase of what it says in the pasuk. Omro Torah, chatosam. The Torah is saying the chatosam, which we said before was a reference to the seer of Vidizora, harehi l'cho kishigigosam. It shall be treated like the par helum, which was referred to by the term shigigosam. So we're learning here to treat the to process the Seir Avodah Zarah like you would process the Parhelem. V'shigigosam mehechon lamadato. And the Parhelem, from where did you learn how to treat it? And like we said before, the Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos of the Parhelem, from where do we know that they are offered? Lo behekesha. Is it not learned from a hekesh from Par Kohen Moshiach? As we mentioned before, by parhelim, if the Torah doesn't write that you offer the yoseris and shtei klois of that animal, it is derived. The fact that the parhelim has that offered is learned from a hekish between it and the par kohen Mashiach, where the Torah does write the yoseris ushtei klois. But to that we say, v'chidover halomig behekish chozum lamig behekish. Could it possibly be that the parhelim, which itself is derived regarding the Yoseris and Shnei Klois through a Hekesh from the Par Kohen Mashiach, can it turn around, can it, namely the Par Helem, turn around and be the source of that, namely the Yoseris and Shnei Klois for the Seir Avodah Zarah? No. When you're learning Kodshim, when you're learning about Korbonos, that type of Limud is out of bounds. Therefore, Talmud Lomar Lapar, Ze Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur. Lapar, ze par kohen Mashiach. This is a reference to the words lapar that we see in Vayikra, Perek Dalet Pasuk Chof, which the Pasuk began with also lapar, which we'll now be able to explain with greater clarity. That means you shall do to the par, namely the par, helem dover shel tzibur, kasher also lapar, like you did to the par kohen Mashiach. So by having this Pasuk, we can say that the Yoseris and Shnei Kloyos for the Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur is as if it's written into the Parsha of Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibur, and with that we can now learn from it to the Seirei Avodah Zarah. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading on the outside margin. Lomo tzorich shnei hekeshim bein par helem l'sir avodah zarah. What is the necessity of having two hekeshes, meaning two comparisons between the par helem and the sir avodah zarah? Number one, you have the word chatos, which appears in Vayikra Dalet Pasuk Chof, which is a reference to the sir avodah zarah in the context of par helem. And number two, you have chatosam in Bamidbar Perek Tezvav Pasuk Chaf Hei, which we said was also a reference to the Seir Avodah Zarah, and in that pasuk we had a hekesh between it and the Par Helem as well. The Gemara, Omar Mar. We're now going to see a quote from that which we saw above. In order to help you find it more easily, you see the arrow to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, and you skim up and you find a parallel arrow. Omar Mar Chatosam. Elu siyavodas kechavim. And we said in that pasuk there was a comparison between the siyavodas zarah and the par helem. The Gemara asks, Tepukle mikro kama. Why not learn from the earlier pasuk, the Omar Mar? We saw this on Lamed Tes Omid Beis. Ha chatos le raboi siyirei avodas kechavim. And this was from a pasuk, Vayikra Dalet Pasuk Chof, which was a pasuk dealing with the Par Helem. Amar Rav Papa, Itzdrich, I need the extra posuk. In other words, I need chatosam al shigigosam. I need an extra hekish between Sira Budazora and the Parhelam. Sakadaito chamino hani mili hazois deksivan begufe. I would have thought that the Sira Budazora are compared to the din of the Parhelam with regard to the blood sprinklings that are written in the case into the Parhelam itself. Avol Yoiserus Ushte Kloyos Delo Ksivon Begufe Amolo. But the Yoiserus and Shne Kloyos, which are not written into the Parsha of the Parhelam itself, I would think that the Yoiserus and Shne Kloyos will not apply to the Sire Vodazora. Komash Malon, therefore I have the extra Hekish of Chatosim Ashigosim to tell me that that too, the Yoseres and Shnei Kloyos, will apply to the Seirei Avodah Zarah as well. At this point, the Gemara is going to be referring to something learned quite a way back on Daf Mem Omed Aleph. Before we go further into the Gemara, let's glance at the side. We have a topic heading, HaMokor Shematnes Dam Shochatos HaPnimios, the source that the Matnes Dam of the internally offered sin offerings, the Chatos HaPnimios, that those blood sprinklings are binding, namely that you need to have all of them. And if you miss one of them, one does not fulfill his obligation. The source for that is Shonui b'machlokes tanoim, is part of a machlokes tanoim, is the subject of a Tanaic controversy. Omar lei Rav Huna brei Rav Nosson the Rav Papa. If we go back to Mem Omed Aleph for a moment. At the bottom of the page, the Gemara was dealing with the issue over there of the Hekish, the comparison between the Par Yom HaKippurim to the Par Helam Dovar. Rav Papa said that the reason that the Par Yom Kippur is compared to the Par Helam Dovar, that is for the halachas that were referred to by we'll call it a code or singular words, but they were a reference to three separate halachas, namely Es, Dam, Ubetvila. So according to Rav Papa, the Hekish of the Par Yom Kippur to the Par Helam was in order to derive those three halachas. On that very point, Rav Huna, Breeder of Nosson, asks Rav Papa, V'hotana, the Tana on Daf Mem Omid Beis, said, Par Yom HaKippurim, L'chol Ma She'omar Be'inyan. The comparison of the Par Yom Kippur to the Par Helam is for everything, not just Es Dam Utvila, but also to tell me that the Matnos Dam, the blood sprinklings, are me'akev, that if you miss one of them, you won't be yotze. Let's read that again. V'hotana par yom kippurim l'chol ma she'omar b'inyan ko'omar. The Tana said that the comparison between the par yom kippur and the par helam is far beyond just es bedam utvila. The Gemara answers, Tanoi hi. The issue is a machlokes tanoim. Tano de Bei Rav, Mar Bihochi. The Tano on Daf Lamed Teso Med Beis is Marbe, means he learns or derives the Par Yom Kippur from the Par Helam for the purpose of Es Bedam Utvila. Tano de Bei Rabbi Yishmoel, the Tana on Daf Mem Omid Beis, Lo Mar Bihochi. He doesn't marbe, or he doesn't include in the par Yom Kippur just es damut vila, but rather kol masha omor b'inyan, everything. In other words, everything meaning that beyond just es damut vila, but also that the matnas dam of the par Yom Kippur are ma'akev, and that if you miss one, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. The Gemara, or I should say the note that we have on the side of our Gemara for this new piece of Gemara, we see on the side Nosei and Mivneh, a topic heading with a structural note. We have diamonds featured here. These are Shnei Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, two pieces of Tanaic literature that came from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Ha Melamdim Derech Mishalim, that will teach through analogies, Lomo Hatura Lo Kosva Eitzel Parhelem. Why is it that the Torah did not write in the case of the Parhelem 2 points? One is the Yeserus Ushtei Kloyes, as we discussed at length just before this, that the Yeserus Ushtei Kloyes are written by the Par Kohen Moshiach and not by the Parhelem. Parhelem was merely was derived, the Yeserus Ushtei Kloyes for the Parhelem itself was derived from the Par Kohen Moshiach. So Yoseres and Shekos are not written by the Parhelem, and something else is not written by the Parhelem. The word HaKodesh, it says Parochas HaKodesh in the context of the other Korban, but not in the Parhelem. In other words, the other Korban being the Par, by the Par Kohen Moshiach, the Torah says Parochas HaKodesh, and in the case of the Parhelem, it only says Parochas, it doesn't say HaKodesh. So now turning to the Gemara, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Mitnei Ma Nemru Yoiser Sushtei Kloyes Bepar Kohen Moshiach. Why is it that the Torah writes outright the Yoiser Sushtei Kloyes by the Par Kohen Moshiach, but lo Nemru, and the Yoiser Sushtei Kloyes are not stated Bepar Helam Dover Shel Tzibur? It was left to be derived from, but it's not written straight out. Moshal Lemelch Bosav Adam, we compare this to a human king, Shezoam al Ohavo, U Mi'et Besir Choinoi Mipnei Chibosoi. Following Rashi's approach, the Marsha learns this differently, but following Rashi's approach, the king who got angry at one that his beloved, at the one he was very fond of. So when the king gets very angry at the one he's fond of, when discussing it or mentioning it, he doesn't elaborate. He's very concise, and therefore the less spoken about, the better, because when it's an issue of wrath over someone that he is fond of. In this case, the Parhelm Dover is something brought in the case that the Beis Din made an erroneous legal ruling and the rove of the Tzibor, majority of the public, stumbled and sinned as a result. So, being that the Tzibor is portrayed as the Ohavo, according to Rashi's Pshat, the Torah doesn't want to speak as too much, so it leaves out these words. It speaks less, it features less detail when discussing the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor as being something that's analogous to the Ohavo of the Melech. That's what this means when it says Umiye Besir Chono, and therefore is concise with his words with regard to Sir Chono, means is going astray, Mitnei Chiboso, because of his love for them. V'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, mitneima nemra paroches hakodesh. We've dashed on the line the word hakodesh because the focus is on that word, the extra word, bepar kli moshiach. V'lo nemar bepar helum davar shel tzibor. There, it doesn't use the word hakodesh; it just says paroches. Moshal lemelech boser v'dam, shezorcha alav medina. This is an analogy to a king who had a province that went bad. Sarcha literally went bad, rebelled, went astray. Im mi'uta sarcha, if a minority of his subjects went astray, so then Pamalia Shalom is Kaimas, his force. The word Pamalia is a word that's a little difficult to give a literal translation to, but we'll refer to it that his force is still intact. Imruba Sarcha, if the majority of the Medina, of his subjects, went astray. So you have a king, the majority of whom his subjects went astray. So Ein Pamalia Shalom is Kayemes. So his forces are not, they're not around. They're diminished, if you will. Rashi points out here that it's as if there is no more Kedusha, no more sanctity. Therefore, and that's the key thing that Rashi adds, therefore the word HaKodesh, which indicates sanctity, is missing when it comes to a situation of the Parhelim, which is a sacrifice brought when the majority in fact stumbled, went astray, in the case of their having followed the erroneous psak of the Sanhedrin. Lefikach im nosan kulon ketiknon. The Mishnah said psula v'ein bo kores. The Mishnah is describing a situation where, of course, we're dealing with the chatos apnimios, and if he did all of the matonos ketiknon, and one of them shelo ketikna, the korban is pasul, but there is no kores, and the. The simple understanding of this is that ein mefaglin v'chatzi matir, that pigul is not accomplished or achieved when half of the matirim are done improperly. As we've discussed in the past, the chatos apnimos have a certain number of matnas dam. Let's focus on the matnas dam by the Mizbeach Azov. There are four matnas dam, four corners, each one a blood application. Each one of them is binding, is necessary. You can't miss out on one. So the question is, what is the matir of that korban? The matir of that korban, what is it that allows that korban to be accepted? All four matnas dam. Any less than four, you have what we would call a chatzi matir, a partial allower. The Mishnah is telling us that if you have a situation where all of them were done ketiknon, and one of the applications was done shelo ketiknon, so the korban does not become pigul. Might be posel, but it's not pigul. And the reason for that is because ein mefaglin, you don't achieve pigul bechatzi matir, with the incorrect thought during only part of the matirim. This, by the way, is in stark contrast to the chatas achitzonis, which we learned about already. There, even though the Torah expects you to do four applications, if you have a machsheves pigul during the first one, and you don't have any further machsheves pigul, or if we want to keep the parallel to what we're talking about here, let us say he does all of them, he does the first one properly, that establishes, that is the matir, because the other matnas dam of achatas achitzonis are not binding. So it's matir, the application that enables the korban to be kosher, is the one matnas dam, because the others aren't binding. Therefore, if he does the first one, ketiknon, and does one of the subsequent matnas dam of the achatas achitzoni, b'machsheves pigul, it won't become pigul. And the reason for that is because the, let's actually, before that, If you have the converse case, if you have a machsheves pigul during the first matnas dam of the chatas hachitzene, and the rest are done properly, that's enough to establish pigul, because that one first matnas dam is its matir. That's not the case with the chatas apnimi. The chatas apnimi, if he has a machsheves pigul during one of the matnas dam, that doesn't establish pigul, because the one matnas dam by a chatas apnimi is a chatzi matir. This issue is going to be expounded upon quite a bit as we go on in the Gemara. Tanan hasam, pigel b'koymetz v'lo b'lavona. Here we're dealing with a meal offering, and the kohen who's offering the meal offering, he has a machsheves pigul during the kometz, and not during the lavona. In a standard mincha, you have a handful of the baked goods taken and offered on the mizbeach, and you also have lavona, a type of another material that's sometimes it's explained as a type of incense that accompanies the korban mincha. So here we have a case of a kohen who has a machsheves pigul during the kometz, and not during the offering of the Lavona, or B'Lavona V'lo B'Kometz. He has this machshava, he has this incorrect thought, during the incorrect thought being the expressed idea that he'll eat the Shirayim after the time lapses. Rabbi Meir Omer, Pigul V'chayim Olof Koreis, Rabbi Meir says that even though he didn't have the machshava on during both elements, the kometz and the lavona, nevertheless, pigul is achieved. V'chachomim omrim, ein kores ad shiyafagel b'chol hamatir. The matir of a mincha is the offering of its kometz and its lavona. Hence, the chachomim say that if you don't have a machsheves pigul during both of them, you don't have pigul, because pigul is not achieved until the incorrect thought is expressed during the entire matir, the entire during the processing of those elements that are matir, that allow it to be considered a kosher korban. As we go on in the Gemara, we see Reish Lakish, who appears in a firebox, one of our rather rare markings. And the reason for that is because the firebox is used to highlight a name or an idea that preoccupies the Gemara for at least an omid, if not more. In this case, if we glance at the note that we have in our outside margin, we have a nosei, and an indication in parentheses, ad mem beis omid beis, indicating this is a rather long discussion. Hesbero shel Reish Lakish l'shitas Rabbi Meir. Reish Lakish will offer his explanation for Rabbi Meir's opinion. De Omar, that Rabbi Meir has said, pigel b'koymetz v'lo b'lavona o hefech, pigel b'chayilovim of Christ, that establishes pigel, even though the pigel was not during both elements, but just one of the two. That's enough to establish pigel. And Reish Lakish's hesber for that is, d'chol ha'oise, al das ha'rishoyna oise, that when one does something, and if it's something that that exists in multiple stages, his whatever mindset he had at the beginning, that is what establishes his mindset for the rest. So whatever thought he expresses at the beginning, it's assumed that he's following through on that same thought as he goes on. The note continues, V'lo mishum, Rabbi Meir's opinion, according to Reish Lakish, is not a result of the mefagle mechatzi matir. One should not think, says Reish Lakish, that Rabbi Meir's reason for holding that pigel v'lavona v'lo b'kometz or v'kometz v'lo b'lavona is a function of mefagle mechatzi matir. That's not so. Rather, Rabbi Meir's opinion of pigel b'kometz v'lo b'lavona or b'lavona v'lo b'kometz is a function of, since he started off with a machsheves pigel, that sets the tone for the rest of the steps. Turning to the Gemara. Before we read the Gemara inside, we should also note that Reish Lakish has a long marking that accompanies it. You'll notice in the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the Tosfos, there's an abbreviated Reish Lam and Reish Lakish encircled with a vertical dashed line. That's to give you a sense of how long Reish Lakish's presentation takes. Reading now in the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Lo Taima, Taima de Rabbi Meir. Don't suggest, don't say that the reason for Rabbi Meir is the Kosovar that he holds Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir, that Pigul can be achieved even when one has the Pigul thought during half of the Matirim. Here in the source that we just saw, where he was pigol bekomitz velo belavona or belavona velo bekomitz, Rabbi Meir said that it's pigol. Hocha b'maskin if you're going shenosan es hakomitz b'machshava v'halavoina b'shtika. We've used numbering here to indicate order of things as well. He offered the komitz, the handful of the meal offering, with a stated machsheves pigol, that he's putting the komitz on the mizbech with the intention of eating the shirayim the next day, which is beyond the allowed time. The halavona, that he did without expressing any wrong thoughts. That's the case that Rabbi Meir says it will be pigol. And why? Kosavar kol ha'oisa aldas rishona hu oisa. That people who act, they act according to the original thought that they had. So that here, his original thought at stage one was a pigol thought. That continues, even though he doesn't express it, but that continues to have an effect through stage two as well. Mimai. And from where does one know this? Midikotani. Now a quote from our Mishnah. Lefikach. Im nosan kulon ketiknon. V'achas sheloi ketikna posel v'en bokores. There is a very basic assumption that we're going to make now. This is from our Mishnah, and it was dealing with the Chatois, the Matnas Dam of the Chatois Apnimius. And it says that if one did all of them, Ketiknon, the Ketiknon we think means Beshtika, with silence, meaning without expressing any incorrect thoughts. The Achas Shalo Ketikna, and one of the blood applications he did with an incorrect Machshava. The idea, the thinking right now is that this means shelo ketikna means with a machsheves chutz lezmano, with a thought of offering it beyond the right time. The Mishnah said posel v'en bo kores. Posel means the korban is ruined. However, there is no kores, that would show that it's not pigol. But now we want to infer. Ho, achas shelo ketikna, v'kulon ketiknon, pigol. If you switch around the order, namely the first is that which is done shelo ketikna, instead of the case that the Mishnah had, which had one of them, the one that was done shelo ketikna was at the end. Here, if you switch it around, that the one that shelo ketikna is at the beginning, that's acha shelo ketikna, the kulon ketiknon, and the rest are done b'shtika, that would be pigol. The basis for that would be because it's al das rishona. So the case that's featured b'feirush in the Mishnah didn't result in pigol. He didn't have a He had a machshava only during half of the matir, and his machshava was not at the beginning. So there's no pigol. However, if his machshava's pigol was at the beginning, even though it would seem to be not the whole matir, doesn't matter. It's still pigol because of what we think. It's because of this idea that al das rishona hu ose. Now our Mishnah doesn't have a name. Moni, who is the author of our Mishnah? Ilemo Rabbonon, ho Amri Rabbonon, ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir. The Mishnah and the inference that we drew from it could not be the Rabbonon. The Rabbonon said emphatically, we saw this a few lines up, in fact, it said, v'chamamomer, right above the firebox Reish Lakish, you see the Rabbanan said, Ein bo kors ad shiyifagel b'chol ha-matir. So the inference that we drew from our Mishnah was that if it was achas shelo ketikna and kulan ketikna, it would be pigul. That could not be the Rabbanan. Because the case that's described by the Mishnah would have been in effect a chatzi matir, the first blood application with the machshevas pigul, and the rest no. But we're dealing with chatas apnimi. Each dam application is binding. Therefore, one of four is basically a chatzi matir. And the Rabbanan said that one does not cause pigul through a machshava during chatzi matir. Elo, Rebbe Meir. Rather, the Mishnah must be according to Rebbe Meir. We have started using a double underline, one of our series markings, and this is explained in the outside margin. We have a topic heading, Nisayon Lehochiach, Shitas Reish Lakish, Mi Mishnah Seinu. We're in the middle of an attempt to prove Reish Lakish from our Mishnah, V'lochein, Im Efshir Lehochiach de Mishnah Seinu K'Rebbe Meir. If we can prove that our Mishnah is Rebbe Meir, Yehoichocha l'Reish Lakish, and we'll have proof to Reish Lakish, as we saw in our Mishnah, that if he starts off with the inference we drew from our Mishnah, we saw that if he starts off with an incorrect thought, that's enough to establish the people. That, and if we can say that our unnamed Mishnah is Rebbe Meir, that would prove Reish Lakish's point. Reish Lakish came to explain Rebbe Meir. It might be noteworthy that Reish Lakish was coming to explain Rebbe Meir that we had seen in the case of the offering of the Korban Mincha. The note goes on to say, Aval im Mishnah Seinu k'Rabbanan, if our Mishnah is set up like the Rabbanan, then Nidche HaSiwa, then we will lose the support to Shitas Reish Lakish. We also have a Mivneh note. You see the double underline, that's going to be used to highlight Rebbe Meir and the Rabbanan. So we continue in the Gemara. We're holding at a point where we see that our Mishnah is not the Rabbanan, but rather it's Rebbe Meir. V'i taimo de Rebbe Meir mishum de mefaglim b'chatzi matir hu, if the reason for Rebbe Meir is because of mefaglim b'chatzi matir, which, by the way, Reish Lakish said that's not the reason, but if this were the reason, then afilu kid dekotoni nami, then even as it is stated in the Mishnah, there should be people. But the Mishnah says there isn't. It's not. It's posel. Posel is an indication that it's ruined, but not. But ein bo kores means it's not people. Therefore, if the tam of Rebbe Meir, and we're assuming right now that our Mishnah is Rebbe Meir, and if his reason was that pigul is achieved through, in other words, if Rebbe Meir by Minochas, who said pigul b'koymus v'lo b'levona, establishes pigul, and that's a function of mefaglin b'chatzi matir, then the Mishnah, our Mishnah as it is, would also have been pigul. Elolav Mishum de Kosovar, rather, the reason for Shitas Rebbe Meir by the Mincha that we saw where it was Pigul becomes a little Vona, is de Kosovar Kola Oise Aldas Rishona Hu Ose. And hence, our Mishnah is also understood. In our Mishnah, we saw the stated case of the Mishnah was where he did the first one, Ketikna, or he did the blood applications ketikna, and only the final one, shalot ketikna, that does not establish pigul. The inference, though, was that if he did the first one, shalot ketikna, and the rest, ketikna, that would establish pigul. And that's because of this rule, kola isa das rishonu ose. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a ma'akav, we have a triangle, whose position will be flipping back and forth. As you skim down the Gemara, you can see this. This is an attempt to keep track. The point facing up will be a dechia, an attempt to dismiss that which was said. Lomar, she'en hamokor k'Rebbe Meir. An attempt to say that the Mishnah is not like Rebbe Meir. When the triangle flips over with the point down, that will be a question on this rejection. As we mentioned before, we're using the double underline to feature Rebbe Meir and the Rabbanan to give a sense of according to whom are we in fact setting up the Mishnah. It was to the benefit of Reish Lakish to have our Mishnah set up according to Rebbe Meir. And through that, he was able to prove his point that Shitas Rebbe Meir, that we saw by Menachos, is a function of Kola Oisa Aldas Rishon Oisa, and not a function of Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir. Because if Rebbe Meir held Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir, then the case presented in our Mishnah by the Matnas Dam of the Chatas HaPnimi would also have been Pigal. The Gemara continues, Omar Rebbe Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Le'olam Rabbonan Hi. Our Mishnah is really like the Rabbonan. At this point then, one realizes that the support our Mishnah would have offered to Reish Lakish's Hesber of Rebbe Meir would fall away. Because our Mishnah doesn't reflect Rebbe Meir. It's the Rabbonan. Umay Ketiknon. What is the meaning of the word Ketiknon in our Mishnah? The Mishnah that said, Lefikoch im nosan kulon Ketiknon. It means Ketiknon lepigol. Ketikna means he did it in a way, he did those matnas dam in a way that it would lead to pigul. The Gemara asks, V'ho midikotoni, but from the fact that it goes on to say in the Mishnah, Lefikoch, im nosan kulon ketiknon, v'achas sheloi ketiknon, posul v'ein bokores. You see here the use of two expressions. You have ketiknon, and then a contrasting expression, shelo ketiknon. Michlal de tikna lehechshera hu de'asa. That the use of the word ketiknon is not coming to tell me a method of application or a style of application would lead to pigol. Because if that were the case, how would you explain the expression shelo ketiknon? Omar Rava. Rava is, notice with the position of the triangle, we're reestablishing the approach that was taken before, the Dechia. And the Dechia is accomplished by setting up the Mishnah like the Rabbanan. So Rava says, our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan. And the expression of Ketikna means Ketikna Lepigal. Umay Shelo Ketikna. Kishelo Ketikna means Chutz Limekomo. It means shelo ketikna lepigol, which is a different wrong mindset, namely chutz l'makomo. So if we plug this information back into the Mishnah, let's read it. And that only involves us going back four lines to the framed section. Lefikoch im nosan kulan ketikna. That would mean that he did, let us say, three of the four blood applications of the inner korban chatas with a machshava of chutz lizmano. The achas shelo ketikna means, and the fourth matnas dam he did with a machshava of chutz limkomo. The fact that he has a machshava of chutz limkomo on the heels of this machshava chutz lizmano that serves to undo the machshava of chutz lizmano, it neutralizes the effects of the chutz lizmano. Chutz lizmano ordinarily would lead to pigul, but since he had a machshava chutz limakomo, that neutralizes the effects of the chutz lizmano thoughts, and the result therefore is pusul alone and ein bo kores. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi explains, what does shelo ketikna mean? Shaloi lishmoi. A machshav of shaloi lishmo by a korban chatos also has an effect and would also serve to neutralize the effects of the machshavas chutz lizmano that preceded it. The Gemara asks, Michlal, dechi loi ovid lo chutz limkoimoi, v'shaloi lishmoi, Mechayev. Are you going to suggest if he were to do the last Matnas Dam without either one of those Machshavas, rather Bishtika, it would be Pigol? But if you are trying to claim that the Mishnah is according to the Rabbanan, you wouldn't be able to set that up like the Rabbanan. Because in that case, he wasn't Mefagil B'chol Hamatir. So the Gemara responds, don't read the Mishnah with this diuk, this what we just suggested, Michlal, that if he didn't do it like that. The fact is, if he wouldn't do it like that, if he wouldn't have had the chutz l'makomo or the chutz or the shelo lishmo, it also would not be mechayev. It would just be puzzle. So the question is then, why does the Mishnah teach this particular case, where it says the last one was done shelo ketiknan? It could have been taught where he did the last one b'shtika as well, if you want to say that the Mishnah is according to the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, listen, the Mishnah is according to the Rabbanan. Aidi detona reisha, since the reisha by the Chatas HaChitzonis said, pigul v'chayovim alav kores, that was the case after the after the Matona Rishona was done with a Machsheves Pigol, the rest of them are not able to undo the Pigol. That's in the case of the Chatas HaChitzonah. Tononami Seifa Posel V'yoin Bo Kores. The Mishnah teaches in the Seifa, when it speaks about the Chatas HaChitzonah, Chatas HaPnimi, a contrasting situation of Posel V'yoin Bo Kores. And the same would be true if he did the rest B'shtika. In other words, the case of the Seifa, where it says, where he did Kulon Ketiknon, and we're explaining now, Kulon Ketiknon means he did them all Chutz L'Zmano, which is Ketiknon L'Pigol, and he did the last one, Shelo Ketiknon, he did the last one with Shelo Lishmo, that results in Posel V'Ein Bo Kores. Don't understand that it's only that case that results in Posel V'Ein Bo Kores, because if he would have done the first Matonos, Ketiknon L'Pigol, and the last one, B'Shtika, it also would have been Posel V'Ein Bo Kores. And the reason the Mishnah teaches, uses the expression at the end, Posel V'Ein Bo Kores, is only because in the Reisha it said, Pigul V'Chayovim Alav Kores. Hence the Seifa uses the expression, a contrast expression, Posel V'Ein Bo Kores. But it's not there for the purpose of a diuk, to be medayak, that had it been done some other way, it would have been pigul. That's not true. Even if it would have been done b'shtika, it also would have been posel v'ein bo kores, because we're learning the Mishnah according to the Rabbanan, who say that there in fact is no pigul if there's any stage of shtika within the matir. And since all of the matnas dam of the Chatas HaPnimi are ma'akiv, they're all kasut to the matir, you'd have to have a machsheves pigol during each one in order to create pigol. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.